This is a 720 to go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
This podcast is sponsored by ADM.
As one of the world's largest agricultural processors, ADM is uniquely positioned to serve the world's growing needs for abundant food and renewable energy. ADM.
When it comes to the business of America's farmland, you need the information from the people who know it best. That's why we bring you AgriCast with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
And good morning to you, Roger, and good morning, world, from our studios in Huntley, Illinois, today on WGN Radio Chicago. Sky's getting very bright in the east, and it looks like we're off to, well, you just heard the forecast, start of a pretty good weekend as far as weather is concerned. Maybe a little too hot and humid for some of you, but at least good weather for gardening, and we're going to talk about that with Jim Fazell in just a few minutes, and whatever Memorial Day activities you have in your plans, it looks like pretty good weather so far. And the one thing I want to mention at the outset, if this is the first weekend that you're going for a drive in the country to enjoy the scenery and the countryside of the Midwest, be careful. Slow down, enjoy the scenery, and watch for that slow-moving vehicle emblem, which is on the back of any farm equipment moving at about 15 miles an hour. You never know when you're going to come over a hill or around a curve doing 55 or 60, and suddenly you are behind a piece of farm equipment doing about 15 miles an hour. And I keep stressing the point. Farmers have a legal right to be on those highways, and they're there because while it's a holiday weekend for many of us, it's going to be a working weekend for many farmers across the Midwest. So having said that, we're going to check in with Jim Fazell and talk about what you can be doing in the garden this weekend when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. It's Jim Fazell time. Welcome back, Jim, and maybe we'll have some pretty hot weather for this Memorial Day weekend.
Wouldn't that be a change? I can remember too many where it was cold. This is great. It's a wonderful weekend. The weather is going to be super good. Finally, a warm, dry spell after, you know, we had almost 8 inches of rain in our rain gauge so far this month. It's just incredible.
That would be a record.
It would be it for us. I don't know what it was at O'Hara because I haven't added that up, but I think we got more than they did. Some of these localized rain bursts, I know last week we had one that came down so hard, even the side streets were flooded and the traffic stopped on Greenwood Avenue, which never happens. You couldn't see 10 feet in front of you. That's what we used to call a good old frog strangler.
You betcha.
Yeah. Anyway, it has been strange weather with the cold and then hot and cold and wet and hot and so forth, now hot. Might stop and think that some of the things that happened were pretty good. First of all, a lot of the flowers lasted a long time because it was cool, and we didn't have any storms to knock the flowers off of them, particularly the early ones. But trees and shrubs were late coming out, some uneven emergence. In fact, some of the trees we expect to be out this time of year are just barely coming out, like catalpas. We'll talk about that in a second. But the flowers did last a long time. It's been a very, very nice spring in a lot of respects, even though cool. The meteorological summer starts next week on June 1, and it might be interesting to think about what's going to happen there. The La Nina, which has given us this strange weather, is dying out. And our long-range guy, Greg Solier, says to expect it to be a little bit cool and probably a little more moisture till about the middle of next month. And he said, look out. It's going to be hot, and it's going to be dry. He wouldn't say drought, but, you know, for us planting gardens, it might be a good idea. If you don't have a water supply, get that set up, because by the time we get into watering or into the dry season, you may need water to keep things going. We're not saying it's going to be a total drought, but I'm not real sure. It's interesting to look at some of the other prognosticators. The Old Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be cool and wet all summer. I don't know about that. One of the things our old-time farmers looked at around here were the Ember Days there this past week. And they say the first month is going to be cool. That corresponds to the first Ember Day. The second and third Ember Days say that it's going to be hot and it's going to be dry. Well, it's going to be interesting to find out who's right. Anyway, Can't do much about it. All we can do is be prepared.
And we know it will change.
Oh, it does regularly. That's the fun thing about weather here. You know, where you're in Arizona and where I was in California, we got up every morning in the summertime. It's going to be whatever the temperatures are that time of year, and it's not going to rain. And every morning you get up and you think, well, maybe we get a little nice weather or a different weather, but it doesn't happen. Of course, it's not too hard to get used to hot and dry. Anyway, it's time to think about getting stuff planted. Now, with the soils as wet as they are, that's chancy, because we don't want to work this soil when it's so wet that it clumps up and makes clods that we can't break up. The plants don't want to grow in that, and it's very difficult to work the soil. Wait until the soil is dry enough that you can take a handful, make it into a ball, and then crumble it. We've talked about that before. And then work the soil up. It's important to work the soil correctly. We like to dig our garden with a spading fork, turn it over about at least 6 inches deep, and break the clods up as you go. Don't let them sit and dry out. Even if the soil is at the right consistency, when it dries out after you've turned it over, it's hard to break any of these clumps up. So get them broken up and rake it out so that you have a seed bed. Whether you're going to seed or plant, started plants, the soil needs to be worked properly. And it's about time to put everything out now. I don't think we're going to get any more frost. 90-degree weather doesn't seem likely that that's going to happen, even though the frost-free date isn't until the end of the month, May 30th. This weekend should be great for gardening if the rains stay away. So anything that you want to put out can be put out now. The annual flowers all can go out, and patience and marigolds, and even the summer bulbs can go out now. Of course, they don't get above ground until 2 or 3 weeks sometimes after you plant them, but it's safe to put them out. One of the things I like to do is take some of the house plants out for a summer vacation. If you need to trim them up to get them in shape, put them out, repot them if they're pinched in the pots, and put them in a place where they get filtered sun, not total shade, not total sun because they'll sunburn. Filtered shade is pretty good. Under a shade tree or maybe out from the back porch where the sun doesn't quite hit them, but it's not too dark in that area. They can be put out. You need to set them up so that they stay out of the mud because you don't want to get the pots full of mud, and you don't want critters crawling into those pots if you can help it. In the vegetable garden, the soils are about 62 degrees right now. It's still a little bit cold, but I think it'll warm up today, and probably by the time we get through to Memorial Day, the soils are going to be up in the 70-degree range, which is what we need. So if it gets that high, and if you have a thermometer so you can test soil temperatures, excuse me, those work very nicely. You can sow seeds of the vine crops, the cucumbers, the melons, and the squash. Or you can set out vines in peat pots, if that's the way you get them, peppers and more tomatoes, and even okra, which is a hot weather crop, can be set out now. And if you've already started your garden and were able to get in early, it's time to plant more beet seeds, beans, carrots, and greens. And this is a wonderful time of the year because there are things to pick already. Asparagus has been wonderful this year because of the amount of moisture. Rhubarb the same. The stems or the petioles on these are plump with moisture, and they're big, and wonderful. Anyway, the vegetable garden's coming along. We get a little bit of heat here and a few degree days accumulating. Things are going to grow pretty rapidly. Other things that need to be done this weekend, spruce up the lawn if you can get out and mow it if it's not too wet. And if it's too tall, mow it in two directions. Set the mower taller the first time. Go in the opposite direction or 90 degrees the second time. Collect the hay if it falls on the lawn, because that'll just smother out the grass underneath it. And one of the things that can be done to really make the grass look nice, the lawn look nice, edge it. Get your edger out. If you don't have an edger, maybe it'd be the time to get one if you have quite a bit of lawn. But if you don't have an edger, a flat spade will work, although it's a lot more work than using an edger. One more thing that needs to be done to spruce up the yard is to clean up the spring flowering bulbs and the shrubs as well. It's time to remove the old blooms, but protect the foliage on your bulbs if you aren't going to pull them up. Some folks just pull them up and replant them for the next year. We don't do that. But it's time to protect the foliage so that it will regenerate the bulb down there. A lot of folks think if you pull the foliage up and tie it so it looks a little more attractive, that works pretty well. Some people say that reduces the amount of photosynthesis so the bulbs don't get replenished as well. We've done that many times in the past, and it didn't seem to hurt anything. One other thing is trimming off the flowers on the spring flowering shrubs. And the reason you want to do that right now and to trim them back and shape them at this time of year is that the flower buds for next year are farmed very early in the season. On things like forsythia, they're probably beginning to form right now. So do your trimming as soon as you can so that those flower buds have a chance to redevelop for next year. Now, we've had a couple of questions, one about forsythia, where folks were concerned because the forsythia didn't bloom except right along the ground. How can that happen? Well, the coldest weather with the snow cover protected the lower buds, but it killed the flower buds in the upper part of the plant. There's nothing you can really do about that. The weather's going to do what it will. Folks that didn't have any snow cover may not have had flowers all the way to the ground. Folks that had 3 feet of snow cover probably had snow up 3 feet and no flower, or flowers up 3 feet and none above that. But there's not much you can do about that. And the other thing that's a real problem, rabbits. Nothing you can do about them that I found except fence in the things that you don't want them to feed on and let them eat the rest of it. Maybe you need to plant something for them to eat so they'll stay out of the part of the garden that you want. Not much you can do about them. They're out there. They're part of nature. They're protected, at least in this part of the country. You can't go out and shoot them, especially in town, even though they do make good Hassan pepper.
Yes, yes.
They do. Anyway, holiday, it's a holiday weekend. It's a wonderful weekend. We need to enjoy it. Go out to a parade. Say thanks to a vet. Make a rhubarb pie and have the first barbecue of the season. Enjoy. It's a great time of year.
And best wishes to you, and thank you very much, Jim. Jim Fazell, our specialist in ornamental horticulture for decades here on the Saturday Morning Show.
Let's stop out of the field this weekend to visit with the BASF Technical Service representative. Jack Marshall is out there in East Central Illinois. First of all, Jack, what are you hearing from the growers as you talk to them? I would imagine the heat is welcome, isn't it?
Yeah, the things that I'm hearing from customers in my territory is the heat and the soil moisture that we've got. This crop is off to an amazing start. We're a lot of questions about making post-emergence herbicide applications, and guys are getting antsy to get those weeds under control.
How significant is the weed activity that you see out there? I mean, has it been a little bit of a problem because of delays to get into the fields?
I wouldn't say it's been a major problem yet, but guys are luckily focused on making sure they're controlling weeds when they're small. We have, across the area, had some applications that needed to go out a little bit sooner than anticipated, but we've had beautiful weather in order to get them out.
What is the guidance that you're giving to the growers now?
Yeah, so we've got an excellent opportunity to get these herbicides out. So some of my recommendations have been to use one of two of our products, either Armazon Pro. It's a two-mode of action herbicide that gives you some residual control. Say if you got your corn planted, didn't get a pre-emerge herbicide down, need some residual to go into the season, Armazon Pro is a great option. In some cases, we've got customers who have larger weeds that they need to try to control, and that's where Status herbicide comes into play. It's a fast-acting, two-mode-of-action herbicide that'll take down large weeds very quickly. So we've got two great options for customers.
Farmers know very well that weeds can cost them, but lest we need to have our memory refreshed, share with us what kind of yield impact there can be.
It can be massive. The numbers, it's hard to put a number on it. My background is in agronomy, and any weed in the field is an opportunity for yield loss. So we want to get them controlled as soon as possible in the growing season and as quickly as possible. And more, even better, to prevent them from coming up in the first place.
That's really the best advice, isn't it? I mean, if you can keep them from even showing up at all, that's the best chance to totally control the scene.
Exactly. With the prevalence of Roundup resistance in much of my territory and much of the state of Illinois, we have a lot of herbicide options that prevent them from even coming out of the ground to help control some of those glyphosate-resistant weeds as well.
Did farmers change their routine much this year from what they've been doing in other springs?
Yeah, I think a lot of customers have. I am noticing an increase in two-pass herbicide programs where they're using a pre-emerge product before the crop comes up or it's even planted, and then coming back with a post-emerge application. Instead of trying to rely on a one-pass option, which is a good option for some customers, but can be a little bit harder to time and sometimes is more challenging to implement depending on the weather.
What else are you seeing out there? Any other advice you want to share?
So one of the things that I cannot stress enough is we need to make sure that we're out scouting fields for any early season pests. pests, whether that may be insect feeding. Got some reports of bean leaf beetle feeding in soybeans. We've got some excellent insecticide options for that that pest. Also, early season disease control, as well as evaluating that stand, whether it's spacing or plant population, and that might help a customer better understand where they could improve maybe their equipment or their planting equipment into the 2019 season.
Jack Marshall, Technical Service Representative for BASF Orion. He's located in that East Central Illinois area.
And these people and others like him really study what happens in the fields and what needs to happen. And that's why we look forward to their reports every Saturday morning here on the Saturday Morning Show. Memorial Day weekend, and Governor Bruce Rauner has ordered U.S. and Illinois state flags to be lowered to half-staff Memorial Day to honor the courageous men and women who, throughout the nation's history, died fighting for freedom and democracy. Today, Governor Rauner will recognize fallen heroes throughout he'll be joining Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, and volunteers at Camp Butler National Cemetery to place flags at the grave sites of U.S. service members. He will also address attendees at a memorial ceremony in Spalding. And on Monday, Memorial Day, the governor is scheduled to participate in activities conducted by the Inter-Veterans Council of Sangamon County and the Camp Butler Memorial Day activities on the day itself. And Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue continues his travels. On Memorial Day, Monday, he will join Kansas Governor Collier and Congressman Marshall to deliver remarks at a Memorial Day service at Fort Riley Post Cemetery. And that will be on Monday at 11:30 a.m. in the state of Kansas. So Secretary Perdue continues to travel. Coming up, we're going to check in with news headlines here on the Saturday Morning Show, and we'll do that after this. Where it is 25 minutes before 6 o'clock here on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Roger. And we're going to be talking markets with Joe Camp of Agribizer in Bloomington, Illinois. Max Armstrong sat down with him in our studios this week, and you'll hear what he has to say about the geopolitical tensions that could impact, certainly, our farm economy because of exports. Well, they'll get into all of that, and we say welcome to Samuelson Says. That's sponsored by Wink Products Company, makers of quality, specialty cleaning products since 1947. I'm Orion Samuelson, this week with a couple of requests for members of Congress. If you're looking for an easy way to keep your toilet bowls rust-free, I have the answer. Rust Guard is the in-tank toilet bowl cleaner that protects against rust and hard water stains with every flush. And Rust Guard is safe to use on plumbing and septic systems, and it will not harm pets. That's Rust Guard. Check us out at wink.com. That's WHINK.com. This week, I am making two requests to members of Congress, and realizing that requests I have given them in the past were totally ignored, I feel these two will be as well. But let me speak my piece on the two issues. Number one, members of Congress, please stop attaching bills with lesser chance to pass to bills that do have a chance to pass, and in point, Farm Bill. The Farm Bill failed in May after Freedom Caucus members in the House withheld their support. They had asked Republican leaders not to hold the vote until the Goodlatte-McCall immigration bill could be considered. And Congressman Steve Scalise said a few days ago, the immigration bill will be considered this month before bringing back the farm bill on June 22nd. Now, the bill did not get the support of the Freedom Caucus Group the first time around. That is a group of 30 of the most conservative Republican lawmakers. And they wanted activity on that bill before they would vote for the farm bill. Immigration rules, not really a part of the farm bill outside of migratory labor having access to places in the United States where they're needed. But this immigration bill will deal with minors and citizenship and that sort of thing. And so that killed the farm bill in the first vote. I'm hopeful that the Freedom Caucus will be satisfied with the action in the second go-around June 22nd. Oh, and my second request to members of Congress, how about less investigating and more legislating? I know investigative hearings give you face time on television across the country, but please, we spend millions of dollars on time and effort investigating issues, and I don't see anything happening because of those investigations. My thoughts on Samuelson Says. A presentation of Tribune Radio Networks, and we're at 22 minutes before 6 o'clock. With the start of a pretty good Memorial Day weekend, some of you will probably complain about the heat, but if you're a farmer, that heat could certainly help crops that are just out of the ground to move along to a pretty good start heading for maturity. So we'll enjoy the weather. We'll enjoy the Memorial Day weekend. And markets, always a question mark. Max Armstrong will talk markets with Joe Camp when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show.
From AgriVisor, Bloomington, Illinois, Joe Camp joining us in the studio this weekend to talk about the market scene. Well, we've seen a nice climb here.
We have a good rally for the grains here lately and a lot of excitement all of a sudden. And that's no surprise because it is May. The spring has kicked off and so is the planting season. Now the growing season for most of us across the Midwest. And so a lot to talk about.
Good planting season. I mean, we've got great stands. A lot of people you talk to say they are looking at one of the best stands of corn they've seen in a few years.
Yeah, overall planting season we feel like went very well for most of us across the Corn Belt. There were some early worries about delayed planting, but most were ready to say, hey, let's just wait a minute because we know the U.S. farmer can plant a lot in a little bit of time. And that was certainly the case this year. We got a lot in just a few weeks in early May, it seemed like, across the I states. And we're still catching up in the northern plains, the northern Midwest, but all around, as you mentioned, really good stands. We talked with farmers that are very happy about the early going here.
If we ever worried about the northern plains getting planted, all we have to do is look back at last week. South Dakota farmers in 1 week's time planted 45% of their intended acreage. What about replanting? This is probably the least replanting we've seen in years, isn't it?
Right, and we talk about replanting.
Knock on wood.
Right, exactly. And we talk a lot about replanting, and it's certainly fresh in our minds from last season, right? Almost record replanting, and now we're talking about very little of that having been needed all around. It just goes back to what we're looking at here for the row crops, a very strong start to the growing season.
So we don't have to worry about planting progress anymore going forward in the future and when these spring planting seasons roll around. I mean, farmers prove they can get it in.
Right, they do. And we won't worry as much, of course, about the planting progress numbers that we get every week, but that crop progress report, which we'll have each Monday afternoon, will still be important. We're watching condition ratings for that wheat crop. We talk about a really strong start to the row crop growing season and yet still higher prices. Well, we've got to talk about wheat and the rough shape that crop is in, particularly the hard red crop in the southern plains, but also trouble. We talked about the northern plains and the planting pace there, some spring wheat coming in late. Or not at all for some folks. So it's a tale of two crops right now between wheat and then corn slash soybeans here with the two row crops again looking a lot better at the start. Prices, though, market-wise being led by wheat right now and some demand optimism, too, which, of course, there's a lot to talk about regarding demand and the influence of trade lately.
You look at those wheat condition ratings, and what a mess they have in Oklahoma. I mean, isn't it something like two-thirds of that wheat is in poor or very poor condition? Have we ever seen Oklahoma's wheat look this bad?
No, we really haven't, and it is spotty. I can attest to that, having just rolled through Oklahoma last week. There's definitely some, you know, discouraging picture regarding that Southern Plains wheat crop. And when you couple that with wheat worries around the world, whether it be the Canadian prairies or the big growers in the Black Sea like Ukraine that are having some issues here, a little bit of trouble in the early going for Western Europe, wheat's all of a sudden a much more important storyline. And we know wheat can be a leader and that corn can follow what is the most widely traded grain in the world in wheat. So it's worth keeping an eye on for sure.
Think about all of the times we've seen this. When the world is swimming in wheat, and not that many months down the road, we start to say, wait a minute here. There may not be as much wheat as we thought. This happens on a recurring basis, it seems.
Right. Well, you can have a short crop in a hurry, and demand doesn't wait up for you, right? We're still consuming wheat at an impressive clip. And the demand is still very much there worldwide for the wheat trade. And when you see what we're seeing with supplies coming down, first off of lower acres, that was the storyline after years of low prices. Now, with yield troubles, yield worries, we're looking certainly at a case to be made for the balance sheet shrinking globally. And when we see balance sheets tighten, like we will, I believe, going forward globally for corn and soybeans too, that's a recipe for higher prices.
We saw showers start to pop up in the spring over parts of the Great Plains wheat country. Was it just too late?
It was, it seems, just too late. We think some of those showers might have stabilized the wheat crop, kept it from deteriorating even further. And we have seen condition ratings, albeit terribly low, somewhat steady in recent weeks. We are looking at, just a couple of rains that came too little too late.
What's your assessment on the spring wheat?
Again, delayed getting in. We know about the problems there in the Northern Plains and the Dakotas. But that's still, a long ways to go. We can still very much have a good spring wheat crop. We're going to, continue to look about where do we have these acres? Are we going to adjust a little bit? We know we planted, it seems, a little bit more durum as opposed to some of the traditional spring wheat crop. Still a ways to go here. We're going to have to watch the forecast. It looks to me like there is a chance for some better weather ahead. We look at the long-range forecast, nothing overly ominous here that would make us suspect we're going to have a dire situation regarding spring wheat similar to that which we have with this hard red crop and, again, the southern plains.
My goodness, a lot of optimism in the past week about China and our trade relationship and the fact that they're buying again from us.
Optimism, the opposite of pessimism, which was, I think, the case just a couple of short weeks ago when you, and this has been the theme with these trade scenarios that are playing out right now, whether it be China or whether it be NAFTA. The China one, very interesting, though, and yes, the impetus for the recent rally here this week, the idea that China could come in and buy an additional $25 billion worth of ag goods, which would double what they currently bring in. We think there's huge potential there. Now, it's early yet. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves here because we know trade talks can and do sour. But we have optimism for the simple reason that China needs our soybeans and our grains, too. and we like the cash that comes from it. You know, and I think there's still a very strong relationship to have going forward with the Chinese, and it seems as though we're very close to escaping a full-blown trade war, which we could have very well entered, it seemed like, just, again, a few weeks ago.
I'm nervous about this quick turnaround of attitude. I don't trust it. I'm bracing for a setback.
Right. And I won't be surprised if we do see a little bit of a letdown here to say, okay, well, you know, we got word that we're going to have a deal, but things aren't progressing now as much as we thought they would. And so we could see a little bit of slippage here of that optimism. Though long term, I still think there's reason to believe we can continue a strong trade partnership with the Chinese.
NAFTA, any market sensitivity to that at all, given the fact that Mexico, of course, is a big consumer of ours?
Right. That continues to drag on longer than we thought it would.
There's a deadline for wrapping that up rather soon, is there?
Well, we've heard several deadlines. You know, the Republicans come out and they say, if we're going to have a Congress that will pass a bill here, it needs to come out rather soon. There's also a deadline coming up with an early June Mexican election, with the new president there potentially coming in and wanting a say in the NAFTA talks. Ultimately, we think a deal will get done. There's still a hang up over some automobile trade considerations, but it looks like the parties, Canada, U.S., and Mexico, are close to signing an agreement that will continue that relationship with, again, two of our top ag trading partners. So that's a good thing, we believe, if we can get a deal inked.
What are you sharing with your farmers? What kind of guidance are you giving those folks that you talk to?
Taking advantage of the recent rally, reward the rally. You know, those usual adages apply here. We're seeing strength. We're seeing some farmers being able to lock in profitable hedges at this point in the year. So we are encouraging some sales here for the new crop, getting up to 25 or 30% sold on both corn or soybeans, and maybe a little bit more than that here pretty quickly as we head up into, the June, July type crucial, crop periods here.
$11 soybeans, possibility at all?
Yeah, I think so. We would need a continued momentum from the Chinese storyline that we're talking about here this morning. We would also need, as we are, I believe, bound to have once or twice this summer, a weather scare regarding the U.S. crop. And that would, I think, get the speculators bullish enough to bring us to 11.
Is it too early to anticipate that pollination period for the bulk of the corn crop? I know we always look at those early days of July. Mm-hmm. We need a lot of warmth, obviously, to bring this crop along that we have planted. But what's your gut feeling about when we're really going to be in those sensitive days?
Yeah, the early thought, talking with our farmers, that it was going to be a pushed back by a week or two. Now the feeling is more so that we're online with a normal pollination time frame. That being because we have seen some warmer weather start to kick in.
These crops are going to jump in this warmth.
Mm-hmm, yes, and when we see the 2-week forecast, again, I said nothing ominous because the precipitation chances are still very good, but it does run a little bit warmer than normal, and I think that ultimately can be a good thing. And, again, brings us, I think, back in line with a normal type season. It worries about delayed planting and some cooler weather early on are shifting back towards normal or even a better than average type growing conditions.
Joe, we always enjoy your visits when you come by. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Max.
Joe Kapp with AgriVisor.
News coming up in about 3.5 minutes here on WGN Radio. And for the next 2 weekends at least, we'll be covering the agricultural scene from our West studios in Scottsdale, Arizona, where the earlier story on news here today is certainly one worth watching. I think since the 1st of January at Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix, they've had about less than a tenth of an inch of rain, and they are terribly concerned about wildfires because of the dryness in that state. Well, yesterday, a monthly cattle on feed report from USDA. Here are the numbers. Number of cattle on feed in feedlots, May 1st, 11,558,000. That's up 5% from a year ago. The number of cattle placed on feed in April at 1,695,000 head. That's down 8% from a year ago. And the number of cattle marketed during the month of April, 1,803,000. That's up 6% over a year ago. Two trader reaction comments. One who said the numbers appear to be in line with expectations. Another who said no fireworks in this report. Of course, they'll have a little more time to think about it before they can trade, because remember, markets are closed Monday, Memorial Day, and that means the reaction to that cattle on feed report won't happen until Tuesday morning when the markets reopen for normal business. But as we ended the week yesterday, the livestock futures at the Mercantile Exchange all higher for the day, a green screen, as I like to call it, and the grain market, a green screen. Wheat, corn, soybeans, all ending the day higher going into the weekend. And there was earlier talk with Joe Camp about the wheat market. Quick look at Europe. Because there the wheat rallied more than 2% yesterday because of concern of dry weather in Ukraine, Russia, U.S., and in Australia. So that wheat market could have some more legs to it. We're going to keep an eye on that.
Orion Samuelson keeps you connected to the world of business and agriculture on WGN. Hear his reports weekday mornings on The Steve Cochran Show and during the noon hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Plus, catch Orion and Max on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. only on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.